News Now.
Another day of record-breaking cases. I'm Pam Husso, Fox News. Nearly 250,000 Americans tested positive for the coronavirus on Friday, according to the latest numbers from Johns Hopkins University. The record was set on the same day a second vaccine was granted emergency use authorization. FDA Commissioner Stephen Hahn says the Moderna vaccine meets the FDA's rigorous standards for quality, safety, and efficacy.
As with any decision made by the FDA, this authorization was guided solely by science and data. This decision was based on the strongest scientific integrity, and I am proud of the work that our career scientists have done.
Inoculations could start on Monday. Up against a midnight deadline, Congress passed a two-day spending bill to avert a government shutdown. The stopgap measure also buys lawmakers more time to negotiate a virus relief package.
Congressional leaders have indicated they are very close to a deal on a roughly $900 billion coronavirus relief package, but disagreement over Federal Reserve lending powers has emerged as a critical sticking point.
Fox's Jared Halpern, the spending bill was signed last night by President Trump. As U.S. officials scramble to uncover the scale and scope of a cyber attack targeting government agencies and private businesses, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo believes Russia was responsible. House Republican Peter King agrees.
We can retaliate against Russia without anybody else knowing about it except the Russians. We've done it to other countries when they attack us. So we have tremendous power here ourselves.
Earlier this week, government officials acknowledged the cyber campaign was still active. NATO says there were no casualties at a major U.S. airbase in Afghanistan following a rocket attack at Bagram Airfield. No one has immediately claimed responsibility. America's listening to Fox News.
Newsmax TV is exploding, and everyone's talking about it. Now, a survey says 30 million Americans are watching Newsmax TV all the time. Millions are turning off big cable news, and President Trump says he loves Newsmax. So watch it, and make sure you vote in Newsmax's national poll asking about President Trump conceding the election. It takes a minute. Just text the word OPEN to 39747 and vote instantly. President Trump wants to know your opinion, so text OPEN to 39747 and vote instantly in Newsmax's poll. Plus, watch Newsmax TV with great shows including Dick Morris, Rudy Giuliani, Michelle Malkin, Diamond and Silk, Mike Huckabee, Greg Kelly, Sean Spicer, and more. Newsmax is on all major cable systems. Check your guide or tell your cable operator you want Newsmax like everyone else. Watch Newsmax TV today and vote in their big poll on Trump. Text OPEN to 39747 and let your voice be heard.
We have to stand together and cut off the supply. That from U.S. Attorney Matthew Martin following revelations of a massive drug trafficking ring allegedly involving fraternities at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Three fraternities have been suspended. Authorities say they were used to funnel cocaine and marijuana to students at UNC and two other schools. So far, 21 people have been arrested.
Law enforcement say members of the fraternities allegedly trafficked more than $1.5 million worth of marijuana, cocaine, Xanax, LSD, and even steroids.
Fox's Charles Watson. Colleges in Michigan can return to in-person learning next month.
I have asked them to delay in-person classes resuming until January 19th and move-in not happening until January 16th.
Governor Gretchen Whitmer says most schools have indicated they will push back their calendars. No visitors at the Washington Monument. The landmark is closed following a recent visit by Interior Secretary David Bernhardt, who tested positive for the coronavirus. A spokesman says Bernhardt wore a mask and followed other guidelines. A popular Netflix series gets panned again.
The depiction of the royals in Netflix's The Crown is being criticized again, this time by the co-founder and editor-in-chief of True Royalty TV. Nick Bullen is shocked how the British royal family is portrayed in the streamer series, which traces the nearly 70-year reign of Queen Elizabeth II. Bullen called the show's characterization of the family a travesty.
Here is the stuff of which fairy tales are made.
This fourth season has sparked the most debate since the show began. Even Britain's culture minister has called for a disclaimer. Michelle Foligno, Fox News.
And I'm Pam Husso. This is Fox News.
WMAL traffic, I'm Michelle Murray. In the district, watch out for an accident on New York Avenue west of the Brentwood Parkway, right at the 9th Street Bridge. Watch out for police direction around the accident scene. Also, keep in mind that on the Beltway in Prince George's County, on the outer loop between Allentown Road and Pennsylvania Avenue, crews are doing work along the two left lanes. That should be in place till at least 7 o'clock this morning, but so far no delays in the area. Now from GarageDoryPair.com, the WMAL Storm Watch 7 forecast.
Very cold start across the region this morning with some area lows into the teens, but we will see a warming trend back up around the 40-degree mark this afternoon. Unfortunately, a fair amount of clouds. We'll call it partly sunny to mostly cloudy today. You can see highs again around 40 degrees, but lows back into the 30s again overnight. Cloudy skies overhead. A weak disturbance will bring the chance for a few showers into your Sunday. Not expecting much in the way of precipitation. High temperatures in the mid-40s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
The market is constantly changing. The Marketplace Minute keeps you up to date 1 minute at a time before your morning exercise.
Alexa, play Marketplace Minute.
All operators file for bankruptcy.
While organizing your receipts.
Hey Siri, play Marketplace Minute.
Says it's been spending more on hiring.
During your afternoon snack.
Hey Google, play the Marketplace Minute.
For upward swings in indices in Europe and Asia.
The Marketplace Minute, a podcast and smart speaker briefing updated 3 times daily. Ask your smart speaker to play the Marketplace Minute. Listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
The finished a load of laundry, dropped the kids off at daycare, hit the gym for a quick workout, stopped by Mickey D's to grab some breakfast, got to work before my boss did, and it's only 9 a.m. meal.
There's a meal for every morning on the McDonald's $1, $2, $3 menu.
Right now, get 2 crispy breakfast classics for just $3. Mix and match a fluffy chicken McGriddles or a toasty McChicken biscuit. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
For all you foodies out there, I'm unwrapping a McDonald's steak, egg, and cheese bagel. Ooh, look at this steak. And the juice running down the side. Got a little bit on the wrapper here. Mmm. And then the fluffy egg and real cheese folded over the side looking just so good. Mmm. Grilled onions and a butter bagel too. Thumbs up for McDonald's steak, egg, and cheese bagel for breakfast. Love it. Mmm. Ba-ba-ba-ba. I participate in McDonald's.
Are you stumped again trying to figure out what to give your loved one this holiday season? Hi, it's Jonathan Cotton with the Good Feet Store, and why not give them some hope with a gift card from the Good Feet Store? Think about it. If you have someone on your list who's on their feet all day, has sore feet, an aching back, even plantar fasciitis, wow, what could be a better gift than to help them get back to living the life they love without their feet getting in the way? This offer is good at the Good Feet stores in Virginia, Maryland, and North Carolina. Visit goodfeet.com for the location nearest you.
I got the gift of being more active with my daughter.
I got the gift of working pain-free.
I got the gift of being able to run again.
Give the gift of hope this season with a gift card from the Good Feet store. We'll add 20% to your gift card purchase from now until December 31st. Happy holidays from the Good Feet store. The Good Feet store is located in Leesburg, Fairfax, and Rockville.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
105.9 FM,
good morning. It is the Saturday morning update as we approach Christmas. It's the last weekend of holiday shopping. Not that anybody goes out to the malls anymore, but if you're going to be ordering online, I encourage you to do that quickly, and hopefully we'll get out and do a little shopping in person. Keep our local merchants and local department stores in business, if possible. Well, speaking of staying in business, if possible, it was the scene on Capitol Hill last night. The House and Senate passed a major extension of the government funding bill to keep the agencies operating until tomorrow night. That's right, a big 2-day extension. The White House made the announcement just after 10 o'clock. President Trump had signed the bill, ensuring the government would stay open through the weekend. Well, here's what the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell had to say about it.
I believe all sides feel we're making good progress on a major relief bill that would travel with the full year appropriations measure. But, alas, we are not there yet.
Of course, they're not there yet. It's not Christmas yet. When they want to go home Tuesday or Wednesday, they'll get it done. It happens every year. put a little deadline on it, put a little pressure on them, they'll get something done. Otherwise, they'll spend 3 months and do nothing. Fabulous. They're hoping to get the $900 billion pandemic relief package off the ground, but they haven't gotten that done yet. They hope to get that done in the week ahead. Pressure on the Senate Majority Leader and the House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, to finalize the stimulus agreement that they've been talking about for months now. They've recently said that they're on the cusp of reaching. Well, let's hope they reach it sooner than later, because there are a lot of people that could use a helping hand right now. And, oh, by the way, Nancy, the election's over, so you don't have to delay it any further to torture our American citizens, just so you can make sure that the former vice president gets elected. So let's get the legislation done, Madam Speaker. So there's an investigation continuing into the attack on U.S. facilities, the American governmental agencies, the cyber infiltration, some are calling it the most successful cyber attack on the U.S. government and corporate institutions in history. A lot of debate as to who is behind it. But the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, was pretty clear about it. He spoke on WMAL last night with Mark Levin. Here's what the Secretary of State had to say.
There was a significant effort to use a piece of third-party software to essentially embed code inside of U.S. government systems, and it now appears systems of private companies and companies and governments across the world as well. This was a very significant effort, and I think it's the case that now we can say pretty clearly that it was the Russians that engaged in this activity.
And we're going to be spending more time on that this morning with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. We'll really dig deeply into it and see where the attack impacts the agencies, what type of impact does it have on the government, what impact might it have on us, and we'll talk with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer coming up in the 7 o'clock hour about that. Now, another story of intrigue and espionage, of course, involves Congressman Eric Swalwell, and he's been under fire this week for a relationship that he had with an alleged Chinese spy, a lengthy relationship that resulted in the, I'm not sure how we would classify her, because he won't say whether they had a romantic relationship, so I'm not quite sure whether to say it was his girlfriend or a friend, but since he's not saying, I would say probably his girlfriend. Anyway, she managed to place an intern in his office on Capitol Hill. Once the feds went in, the FBI went in and explained it to him. Well, he broke off the relationship. She took off, left the country, but his family members stayed friends with her on Facebook until earlier this week when they defriended her. He won't make any comment. Fox News staked out his, I guess, what would you call it, a townhouse where Swalwell lives. They staked it out, but he wouldn't talk to him, so he went inside. Well, the FBI did a briefing yesterday with Kevin McCarthy, of course, the minority leader, and the House Majority Leader, Nancy Pelosi. And here's what Kevin McCarthy said after being briefed by the FBI. He was on Fox News last night.
What I learned today, and anyone who was in that room with me, would never allow Swalwell to be on the Intel Committee or to continue to be on it. I don't know if the briefing before for leaders, if they had the same information they have today, but if that was the case, he should not be serving.
So that's what Leader McCarthy had to say about things. Now, as we continue with what's going on out there, Joe Biden made a visit to late night television with Stephen Colbert. Now, obviously, he's in a friendly setting. He did a press conference this week, but only took 5 questions. And now even the mainstream media is starting to hem and haw about why he won't answer more questions. Apparently, the people that ask the questions are hand-picked, and they never pick on Fox News. So they're controlling the message pretty good. Now, if you listen to a little bit of the interview here with Stephen Colbert talking with Joe Biden and his wife, Jill Biden, it sounds like it was scripted to me. If you listen to the question, Colbert is blaming, obviously, the Republicans for all of the, uproar over Hunter Biden. Colbert does not point out that Hunter Biden's been under federal investigation in some cases since 2018 and that there are three federal investigations underway. Doesn't mention that, just blames it all on the Republicans. This is Stephen Colbert, Late Night on Thursday.
You know that the people who want to make hay in Washington are going to try to use your adult son as a cudgel against you. How do you feel about that, and what do you have to say to those people?
Kind of a curious answer from Joe Biden to the question, and it's an awkward situation for Joe Biden. I understand that, but just listen to it. You'll formulate your own opinion.
We have great confidence in our son. Mm-hmm. I am not concerned about any accusations been made against him. It's used to get to me. I think it's kind of foul play, but look, it is what it is, and he's a grown man. He is the smartest man I know. I mean, in pure intellectual capacity. And as long as he's good, we're good.
Okay, as long as he's good, we're good. Well, it doesn't sound like he's good, I'm sorry to say. We'll see how that plays out. That's what's going on in terms of the latest messaging from the Biden camp on the situation with Hunter Biden. And again, I think President Trump summed it up pretty well the other day. He said it's a sad situation, but it is a situation. And the question is, how far does it go into the Biden family? And a lot of allegations that Joe Biden knew a lot more about the business, possibly was involved in it. He's obviously denied all knowledge of it. And I think it will be very interesting to see how that develops. 617, Saturday Morning Update, WMAL. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
On the outer loop of the Beltway after Allentown Road, there is a work zone, and the two left lanes should be there till at least 7 o'clock this morning. Also, do keep in mind there is still an accident in the district on New York Avenue after the 9th Street Brentwood Parkway exit. So do watch out for police direction around the accident scene. Also, in Clarksville, there is an accident right now to watch out for on Pindell School Road, that is, at Simpson Road. Use caution in the area. Now from GarageJoyRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
A very cold start across the region this morning with some area lows into the teens, but we will see a warming trend back up around the 40-degree mark this afternoon. Unfortunately, a fair amount of clouds. We'll call it partly sunny to mostly cloudy today. You can see highs again around 40 degrees, but lows back into the 30s again overnight. Cloudy skies overhead. A weak disturbance will bring the chance for a few showers into your Sunday. Not expecting much in the way of precipitation. High temperatures in the mid-40s. I'm ABC7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
27 degrees, 618 in the nation's capital.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is the Saturday Morning Update. As we approach the Christmas holidays, we're joined by Jennifer Harper. She writes inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Good morning.
Good morning, and Merry Christmas soon, everybody.
The poll of the week, and what does it tell us about President Trump and news or fake news?
Yeah, it really is the poll of the week. It's coming from the Pew Research Center. That's always an interesting find when they are the pollsters of choice. And anyway, they have revealed what President Trump already knows, and that is the existence of fake news. You know, everybody puzzles over all the biased reporting that comes out. Sometimes it's infuriating during these times that you have a lot of political news coverage, which is kind of aberrant in many ways. Let's move over to some numbers about what people think about fake news, because this poll is confirming that people are acknowledging the existence of fake news. And here we go. This is coming from the Pew Research Center. Three-fourths of Americans, 72%, say they saw news in the past year that was made up during the election. That's in quotes, made up. Three-quarters of Americans said they witnessed news that was made up during the election. They also witnessed the toxic effect of this news, Rick. And here's a direct quote from Pew Research Center. They say, after an election season where viral online misinformation was rampant, 6 in 10 Americans say that made-up news and information had a, quote, major impact on the presidential election, about on par with a portion who say the same of news media coverage. So you're saying that news media coverage and fake news were both having a huge effect on the election. And this is coming from the Pew Research Center. Average Americans just weighing in on this. And surprisingly enough, 69% of Republicans and 54% of Democrats agree with this. Again, coming from the Pew Research Center, when asked which party election misinformation was mostly intended to hurt, both Democrats and Republicans see it as targeting their own side. About 7 in 10 Republicans say that made-up election news was mostly intended to hurt the Republican Party, and 63% of Democrats say that it was intended to hurt the Democratic Party. That's kind of predictable that they would have those reactions. But what's most important is that three-fourths of Americans are now acknowledging, oh, my gosh, I'm seeing made-up news during the election, and it did have an effect on the election.
You know, the COVID-19 vaccines are now being implemented. You have a story about a dozen big-name interest groups and who they think should get COVID-19 vaccines first?
Yes, and listeners will probably not believe this, but it's all true. There is a group of 13 major news organizations. They believe that the news media should be in the earliest wave of people who will receive the coronavirus vaccine.
Oh, come on.
And the reason is...
This is nuts.
Well, anyway, Rick, I hope you recover from this news, but some also believe that journalists qualify as first responders. This is what the news organizations are saying here. Again, they believe that the news media should be in the very earliest wave of people who are going to get the vaccine. They believe that they are first responders in their own way because they are exposed to the virus while reporting on it. Well, I don't know what's true in there, but it's an interesting phenomenon. So here is what they have to say in their letter, which went to Jose Romero, chairman of the CDC's Prevention Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. This is what the group sent to him. In times of crisis, journalists represent an even more critical lifeline to their communities. In the case of this enduring pandemic, journalists have taken on an even more essential role, serving as a connective fabric for Americans who are isolated and physically separated from each other and informing them of their constantly evolving risks in their individual communities. And also it says that journalists provide vital information on the vaccine itself. And the letter said, we respectfully urge you to consider the inclusions of journalists in subsequent phases of priority vaccine deployment. Wow, that's some lettering in there. Anyway, just a couple of the names of the folks who signed this, the National Association of Broadcasters, National Association of Hispanic Journalists, the Association of LGBTQ Journalists, the News Media Alliance, Public Broadcasting Service, Radio, Television, Digital News Association, and the Society of Professional Journalists. That's just a few of them, but that's what's out there, folks.
Yeah, but there are only a handful of journalists left. That's the problem. Jeez. All right. How about Republicans and Democrats and vaccine? There's a difference there.
Yes, there is. And here's a new phrase for your lexicon this morning, everyone. And that is the phrase vaccine hesitant. That is the, I guess it's a technical term for people who don't want to get vaccinated. So are you vaccine hesitant? Well, anyway, Republicans are the most vaccine hesitant when it comes to the COVID-19 vaccine right at the moment. And, of course, there's a poll, and it's a big, fat poll coming from the Kaiser Family Foundation. And they found out that over a quarter of the United States population say they would balk at getting the vaccine. And there is a whole emerging hesitant quotient among those who are really leery of getting the shot for a whole bunch of different reasons. But anyway, let's go into the numbers here. 27% of the public are vaccine hesitant, saying they probably or definitely would not get the vaccine, even if it were available for free and deemed safe by scientists. And vaccine hesitancy is highest among Republicans, 42%. Among those who are aged 30 to 49, 36%. And rural residents fit 35%. And you'd be interested to know, Rick, that the people that are the least vaccine hesitant are Democrats. Only 12% say they're not going to get a vaccine. And also there's a lot of polling out there that the Kaiser Family Foundation did about why people are hesitant. Some of the reasons are mostly 59% are afraid of those side effects. 55% don't trust the government to make sure the vaccine is safe and effective. It goes all the way down the line to last but not least, 20% say they are not at risk to contract the virus, and they're the ones that are not so frightened.
We're going to continue our conversation with Jennifer Harper right after a check of the news at 6:30. And coming up, we're going to chat with her about a new movie coming out on Ronald Reagan. You'll never guess who's playing Ronald Reagan in the film. And this is a real Hollywood production. It's not just a documentary. It's the real deal. That's coming up. Also, we will be talking with Jim Trustee, of course, our legal counsel. Will give us a rundown on what's going on with the departure of Attorney General Barr and the investigations that are remaining, the Durham investigation and also the Hunter Biden investigation. We'll talk to Jim Trustee about that. Interesting conversation with the D.C. lottery folks. Conversation about responsible gambling, and we'll be chatting with them in just a little bit. Also coming up, John Gizzi, of course, Cheryl Atkinson, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, and KT McFarland. So we've got an action-packed Saturday morning for you. Stay with us.
Tonight's the night. Santa's trusting us elves to take care of the North Pole while he delivers all the holiday goodies. Wooden ponies, dolls, Xfinity.
Xfinity?
It's only the awesomest internet ever. Naughty or nice, they let you pick the speed that's best for you, all the way up to gig, and you get internet with top-notch coverage.
Did you make Xfinity, Dad?
No, but I made the wooden ponies.
I guess those are good, too.
Get Xfinity Internet this holiday and pick the speed that's right for you, up to gig. Enjoy fast, reliable internet and great coverage with advanced security included at no extra cost with the XFi Gateway. Simply log in and activate through the Xfinity app. Get started with Xfinity Internet for $39.99 a month for 12 months with no term contract required. Visit Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires equal bill and auto pay, ends 1/31/21. Restrictions apply. New Performance Pro Internet 200 megabits per second customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After promo, regular rates apply. Actual speeds vary.
Don't miss the Trading Group Show, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WMAL. Learn how you can earn a full-time income as a short-term trader. That's the Trading Group Show, Saturdays at 3 p.m. The question line is 888-646-8787.
Prince William and Stafford counties are now without representation in Richmond, as the District 2 delegate abandoned her seat to run for higher office. The answer is not another career politician. The answer, on January 5th, is Heather Mitchell, a solid conservative.
Politicians in Richmond have turned their back on frontline workers and our heroes in blue. They have made our communities less safe by releasing violent felons and sexual predators back into our communities. This special election is our chance to tell Richmond that instead of defunding or reallocating our community's safety, we need to be supporting our heroes in blue and their efforts to keep our community safe.
Avoid possible voter fraud and vote in person Tuesday, January 5th. Learn more and donate at Mitchell4VA.com. That's Mitchell4VA.com.
This is Heather Mitchell running for the Virginia House of Delegates, District 2, and I approve this message.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
Quarterback Patrick Mahomes for Helzberg Diamonds.
Okay, the clock's ticking and you still need a gift, but you're not sure where to start. Believe me, I've been there. So here's the game plan. Get to Helzberg Diamonds, where they have stunning jewelry at great prices and all the no-pressure advice you need to bring home a W. You've got this. Now get out there and win the holidays.
Right now, get a free Microsoft Surface Go 2 when you spend $1,499 or more. Limited time offer while supplies last. See online or in store for details.
Based on the recent stock market slide, do you feel your money and investments are safe? Would a repeat of the market losses you experienced earlier in the year or in 2002 and 2008 derail your family's retirement plans? It's time to make a U-turn on your retirement strategy. This Saturday at 5 p.m., tune in to the U-Turn Equity Financial Hour with Tucker and Blake. They'll cover these financial topics and, more importantly, share little-known strategies to keep your money safe and discuss tax-free income. Join the conversation Saturday at 5 on WMAL.
In the news at 6:30, the U.S. is adding a second COVID-19 vaccine to its arsenal, the Food and Drug Administration authorizing emergency use yesterday, the vaccine developed by Moderna and the National Institutes of Health. That decision comes days after health workers and nursing home residents began getting similar coronavirus shots from Pfizer and BioNTech. Vice President Pence and his wife Karen taking their shots yesterday. Congress passed a two-day stopgap spending bill to avert a partial government shutdown over the weekend. It's part of the effort by lawmakers to buy additional time for frustratingly slow endgame negotiations on an almost $1 trillion COVID-19 relief package. Experts say it's going to take months to figure out how elite hackers, widely believed to be Russian, got control into the U.S. government networks. The hackers have been quietly rifling through the networks for months in what's called Washington's worst cyber espionage failure on record. And the Trump administration has notified Congress that it intends to shutter the last two remaining U.S. consulates in Russia. It's 6:31, time for a check of the traffic and weather, and Michelle Murray is in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
In the district, still some accident activity inbound on New York Avenue, just west of the Brentwood Parkway along the right side. Stay to your left and use extra caution traveling through the area. Also keep in mind in the district, a portion of South Capitol Street is closed between Atlantic Street and Martin Luther King Jr. Avenue due to water main repairs. And in Virginia on 66 eastbound between Nutley Street and the Leesburg Pike, watch out for some construction. Only one lane gets through. This also affects Gallows Road near 66. Watch out for lane closures there. Now from GarageRepair.com, the WMAL Storm Watch 7 forecast.
A very cold start across the region this morning with some area lows into the teens, but we will see a warming trend back up around the 40-degree mark this afternoon. Unfortunately, a fair amount of clouds. We'll call it partly sunny to mostly cloudy today. You can see highs again around 40 degrees, but lows back into the 30s again overnight. Cloudy skies overhead. A weak disturbance will bring the chance for a few showers into your Sunday. Not expecting much in the way of precipitation. High temperatures in the mid-40s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
27 degrees, 6:32 on WMAL.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It's the Saturday morning update, and we continue our conversation with Jennifer Harper. She writes Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Lots of analysis about the Democrats and the Republicans after the election, and you've got an interesting perspective from one of the columnists.
This is coming from Matt Meyer. He's a columnist for The Spectator. He explains why Democrats act the way they do, which is pretty cavalier about most things. He says they don't give a damn. They won. Specifically, the media, Democrats, big tech, and their hacks don't care one jot that their pre-election interviews, tweets, stories, and actions were knowingly misleading or worst bad-faced lies. They most certainly don't care what the rest of us think of them. We're just deplorables hanging out in those red counties. All they care about is that they won. And roughly half the country will adore them for the lies they told to win. Biden is in and Trump is out, period. Don't get me wrong. They should be accountability for people who were knowingly wrong. A compromised media is simply bad for America. Big tech clearly taking the side of one political party over the other won't end well, but we are past that now. The right needs to realize that the left will seek victory at any cost. So if they aren't prepared to meet them in the caged arena in a fight with no rules, then they should accept defeat and move on. Otherwise, start fighting back. I hear Ken Starr might have some time to serve as a special counsel. Again, that's coming from Matt Meyer, a columnist at The Spectator.
Let's look back at one of our more favorite presidents and actually is going to be cast in a good light in the weeks and months ahead.
Yes, indeed. In fact, this is happening right now. Let's make a big announcement here, Rick, because Reagan, the movie, is now being produced. This has been a long-term project of a group of, let's just say, stalwarts out there in Hollywood. They were determined to make a movie about Ronald Reagan, and it is now being produced, now being shot. It's underway with a stellar lineup of actors and a pretty meticulous script here. And just to tell you where they're coming from, Reagan the movie, they say, this is according to the staff, portrays the life of one of the most consequential men in American history. Again, this is coming from the producers, and it's shaping up to be a real showcase for some very thoughtful actors. If you're wondering who plays Reagan, Dennis Quaid is going to be playing Reagan, and our friend Academy Award winner John Voight is going to play a KGB operative who tracked Reagan for 4 years. Robert Davi is Leonid Brezhnev. Penelope Ann Miller is Nancy Reagan. Mina Suvari is Reagan's first wife, Jane Wyman. Kevin Dillon is Jack Warner. And Leslie Ann Down, you may remember her, she's playing Margaret Thatcher. And Scott Stapp, he is the lead singer for the rock band Creed. He's going to play Frank Sinatra. And they announced, the producers announced this week that the newest member of the cast is Will Wallace. He's been in 40-some major films, and he's going to be playing Ed Meese. And he said to me, "I am thrilled to be part of this timely and poignant story about such a prominent figure in history. I'm particularly honored to play such an interesting character as Edwin Meese." And he actually did a little Zoom with Mr. Meese to acquaint himself with his characteristics and so forth. And Mr. Meese apparently was happy that he was appearing in the movie. And last but not least, this movie is being produced by Mark Joseph. This has been a project of a couple of years, and it's underway. It's going to be released. Reagan will be released in 2021. And Mark Joseph has got a very long resume. He was behind such movies as The Chronicles of Narnia and The Passion of Christ, among many, many, many projects. So watch for Reagan in 2021.
That's great. I've always admired Ed Meese for his accomplishments as Attorney General. Jennifer Harper, Inside the Beltway, thanks for the inside scoop. It's like Inside Hollywood this weekend. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy holidays, and we'll see you soon.
All righty. 6:37, it is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. Stick around. We've got some interesting insights coming up from Jim Trusty and an interesting conversation on responsible gambling with the D.C. Lottery. Stick around.
This is Mike Donovan, host of Not Free America on Sundays at 10 a.m. right here on WMAL FM 105.9 in the nation's capital. This weekend on Not Free America Radio, economic disaster looms as our GDP crashes. What does losing a third of our economy really mean? Meanwhile, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo takes quarantining travelers to a new extreme. Then we talk facts about qualified immunity and the American police state. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. right here on Not Free America Radio.
It's the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. I'm Rick Ballard. Great to have you along this morning. Very creative partnership in the Washington area. It involves the D.C. Lottery and the National Council on Problem Gambling. It is all about responsible gambling, and that's an important message year-round, but in particular during the holiday season. We're joined now by Nicole Jordan. She is the Director of Marketing and Communications with the D.C. Lottery. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Also joining us is Keith White. He is the Executive Director of the National Council of Problem Gambling. And thank you for being with us, Keith.
Thank you, Rick.
Nicole, it's a very creative partnership between the D.C. Lottery and the National Council on Problem Gambling. How did it come about?
So we're really excited about this partnership. We have been in partnership for decades because I think we all have the same common goal, which is to make sure that those who are gambling do it in a responsible manner. So for us and for the council, it's about having gambling be entertainment and making sure that those who, when it's not fun and they may have issues, that they have resources that they can get to easily and quickly. So for the DC Lottery, we have a responsibility to sell lottery tickets that generate funds for the city, but we also have a responsibility to make sure that the citizens of the city are also taken care of. So that's why we partner with this great organization, and we continue to look for ways to incorporate responsible gaming into everything that we do at the D.C. Lottery.
Keith, tell us a little bit about the history of the organization, the issue, of course, and how you address it.
Well, as Nicole said, we work together to try and send a message of responsible gambling, especially around the holidays. You know, we want to encourage parents to think twice before giving lottery tickets as presents for kids. You don't want this present to rebound back later in terms of a gambling addiction. You know, no parent would ever wish that on their child. So we hope they will think twice before possibly giving a lottery ticket as a gift. And then the second thing we urge people during the holidays, especially during this tough year, is to avoid gambling as a means of either making money or a means of escaping from problems such as depression or stress. You know, if you keep those kind of responsible gambling tips in mind, both the National Council and the DC Lottery want you to, if you choose to play, to do so responsibly. Because about 2% of people in the district and Americans nationwide meet criteria for gambling problems at some point in their life. So this may well affect someone or someone in your family.
Nicole, tell us about the importance of understanding and viewing the lottery as a form of entertainment versus, say, a form of investment.
Yes. I mean, at the end of it, lottery is entertainment. It is a fun way to win lots of money, which you do with the lottery. But it's also fun. It's a type of entertainment. So as we tell our players, when we want you to have fun, we want you to play our games, we want you to enjoy this, to use this as something as relaxing and fun. And in the midst of it, you might win some money as well. But we also say that when it's not fun, we ask you to stop. And we try to make mechanisms in our play to assist our players in that way. So, for example, we have now started sports betting and a lot of online, we'll be starting online lottery in a few days. And what we've done is made sure that there are mechanisms inside to manage how often you play, how much money you play, how much money you spend, your bet limits. So for us, lottery should always be fun. It should be something that is adding to your day and not taking away from it. And if you need assistance, then we want to make sure that you reach out and get that. And so that's our job. Our job is to make sure, as we said, to make sure that the community wins and that our players win as well, not just in money, but also in their stability of their lives.
You know, someone listening this morning may have a friend or a family member that has a gambling problem, but you may not detect it. They're likely to be very shy about saying anything about it. So what are some of the telltale signs that you would look for?
The signs and symptoms of a gambling problem may be hard to detect, but they are often common with other addictions. So we look at things like preoccupation with gambling, tolerance, you know, and especially loss of control. And so if you know someone that is always or constantly talking about the next big win or what they won last night or what they're going to play tomorrow, you know, that could be a sign of a gambling problem. Tolerance is an interesting one. So much like people who have drug addictions, people with gambling problems need to bet more and more money to achieve that same high. And because they develop tolerance, just like people with substance abuse. And then last, of course, is loss of control. So if you're not able to set a limit of time and money spent gambling and you're not able to stick to that limit, that's probably one of the most obvious signs of a gambling problem. But if you flip that around, as Nicole said, play responsibly means setting a limit of time and money you spend gambling and sticking to that limit. And if you do that, that's one of the most important ways to make sure that you're playing responsibly and staying safe and healthy.
Nicole, if someone does have a gambling problem, they can actually come to the DC Lottery, and what kind of help do they receive from you?
So if someone comes to DC Lottery and they say that I think I may have a gambling problem, the first thing we really do is we would give them the number to a National Council on Problem Gambling's hotline. It's 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, call, chat, it's free and it's confidential. So we give out that number, which is 1-800-522-4700. But we also have a staff member on staff who will sit there and, you know, really talk to them about some of their options. We have a self-exclusion program. And what that program does is allow for a player to decide that they will take opportunities away from gambling. So they can decide they don't want to be able to gamble in the district for anything from, you know, a week to a year or to indefinitely. And what we do is we walk them through that process, explain to them what the process is, make sure they have the resources to assist them, And then what we do is we put them on a self-exclusion list. And if they're on that list, that means that we help them by not allowing them to play any DC lottery game in the district. And so that's a resource that we have. But as we said, for us, play responsibly, responsible gaming is not something that is a mandate that we just do a checkbox. It's not something that we just put on our tickets and our items like that, but it's something that we've embedded into everything we do. So we make sure that we create programs and products that are adult friendly. We make sure that we put in the safety limits and those limits for resources and help. We guarantee that we have a full-time staff member that looks through this process as well as other team members. We train our retailers and our staff. So we make sure that the conversation is there and that the resources are there to back it up.
Nicole, we've seen the lottery in D.C. for years, but I'm not sure that everybody understands where the money goes. Tell us how it helps D.C. residents.
Absolutely. We say when you play with D.C. Lottery, everyone wins. So the city wins because all of our revenue goes back to the city. Since our inception, we've given over $2 billion back to the general fund, and that funds cities and streets and schools. Our small businesses win because we have about 400 small businesses who are retailers, so they get commissions. And then the rest of the money actually goes to our players. So the win, our players win with that money as well. We also help nonprofits by allowing them to license so they can have casino nights. And so they raise over $1 million that we've helped the nonprofit community. So the lottery makes sure that the city and our players win.
Keith, I know we have the initiative here in D.C., but tell us a little bit about the national initiative and how someone can get help.
For the third straight year, 100% of lotteries in North America are participating in the Holiday Responsible Gambling Campaign, and that is, as Nicole said, to send a message that it's not appropriate to give lottery tickets as gifts to children. And so we're very proud of this. It's even gone, the campaign's gone international. So we've got a number of international lotteries and international organizations participating to all team up to send a positive message during the holidays about responsible gambling. And we think that's really important to show that there's a lot of unity and partnership amongst non-problem gambling advocates like us and lotteries like the D.C. Lottery.
You have a hotline number. How would someone reach you?
So if you or someone you know may have a gambling problem, call, text, or chat to 1-800-522-4700. It's toll-free, and most importantly, it's confidential. There is hope and help available.
That number, 800-522-4700. Nicole Jordan at the D.C. Lottery, Keith White with the National Council on Problem Gambling. Thank you both very much. Very informative and very helpful information in this holiday season. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for having us, Rick.
Our pleasure. 647, Saturday Morning Update, WMAL. We'll talk with Jim Trusty next. The legacy of Attorney General Barr, and also the latest on where some of these probes go with a new administration. That's next, but first, traffic and weather. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
So far, traffic moving without delay on the Capitol Beltway, but on the outer loop in Morningside between Allentown Road and Pennsylvania Avenue, the two left lanes are blocked with road work. In the district, watch out for the accident activity on Newark Avenue inbound just west of the Brentwood Parkway along the right side of the roadway. Also in the district, South Capitol Street is still closed in both directions between Atlantic Street and Martin Luther King Jr. Avenue, and that for water main repairs. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
A very cold start across the region this morning with some area lows into the teens, but we will see a warming trend back up around the 40-degree mark this afternoon. Unfortunately, a fair amount of clouds. We'll call it partly sunny to mostly cloudy today. You can see highs again around 40 degrees, but lows back into the 30s again overnight. Cloudy skies overhead. A weak disturbance will bring the chance for a few showers into your Sunday. Not expecting much in the way of precipitation. High temperatures in the mid-40s. I'm ABC7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
It's 27 degrees at 648 on WMAL.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It's the Saturday Morning Update. We're glad that you've joined us this morning. I'm Rick Fowler. Jim Trusty joins us each week. He is a partner at IFRA Law here in Washington. See him often on Fox News. And he is the former chief of the Organized Crime and Gang Section at the U.S. Department of Justice. Jim, always great to get your perspectives on the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Rick. And call me Dr. Jim, please.
Oh, okay. Touché. So the Attorney General, William Barr, will be leaving office this week, and he got a lot of criticism from the left for being Donald Trump's personal attorney, quote-unquote, was the criticism. And he's also been criticized by the conservatives as to why he didn't do more to make some of the ongoing investigations known prior to the election. So I guess maybe if you're getting it from both sides, maybe he was a very effective attorney general.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, either it means you're really good or really bad, but I think it probably means he was really good. And I had the benefit of being around the Department of Justice with, I was counting the other day, five different attorney generals from Reno to Lynch. And I would stack Bill Barr up against any one of them easily. And I think it goes back to kind of the big picture, and then we'll talk about the issues that have, you know, driven people to apoplexy. I mean, the first thing is this was not somebody that was, like, bucking for the next job. He didn't need to come back, didn't need to be the attorney general. And I'm actually convinced that he did so out of a sense of devotion to his country and to the department. So immediately when Democrats were saying, you know, he's this horrible political toady, never mind, he never said he was the wingman like Eric Holder did for President Obama. They just, you know, instantly had to use him as somebody to go after. And I look at it specifically in terms of evidence of the things he did during his tenure as attorney general. And I think he was a very ethical, very honorable attorney general. And you know, I realize I'll get all sorts of feedback from my liberal friends here on this. But look, I mean, he handled the Mueller probe exactly right in terms of being the desk where the final decisions are made on the ridiculous obstruction possibility. On the Durham probe, he's navigated that in terms of having a senior career prosecutor do the investigation. Now he's given that person special counsel status. And notice, unlike anything we've seen in recent years from the department, no leaks, you know, nothing coming out, no posturing by the attorney general, just a quiet investigation, which is exactly what you're supposed to do as a prosecutor. You let the indictments in the courtroom be where you talk, not outside. And if you look at, you know, even some of the other firestorms that popped up, like the Roger Stone sentencing memo, you know, he was completely correct to rein in the line prosecutors from Mueller's team who were looking for this ridiculous enhancement to the sentence. And by the way, the judge, no big fan of President Trump, agreed. And found that he did the right thing. And, of course, we've talked a lot on this show, Rick, about the Michael Flynn process and proceedings. And I think he did exactly the right thing, dismissing that case that was, you know, due to die from a death of a thousand cuts by the time it finally got pardoned. So, yeah, I think the left started hating him as soon as the Mueller probe fizzed out without Donald Trump being indicted. But I think that a lot of the criticism from both sides has actually been unfair, if you know how prosecutors are supposed to work at DOJ.
All right, so we have a couple of major lingering issues. You mentioned the Durham investigation. He's now been appointed a special counsel. Where does that go? And then I want to ask you what happens in terms of the process with Hunter Biden's investigations.
Sure. Well, the Durham probe, you know, we've been hearing for almost a year now, people saying, well, where's the Durham report? When are we going to see the report? And there wasn't going to be a report. You know, DOJ can tap senior prosecutors to handle sensitive matters all the time without it being a special counsel appointment. So the bad news for that is there's no tenure, there's no protection, there's no congressional overlay. And so if you're tapped to do a project, then you can be untapped without any consequences. Well, now that the Durham probe has that special counsel status, one would think, and I'll give you the asterisk here in a second, one would think that he now has the protection where we know there's going to be a report that goes to the attorney general, that goes to both sides of Congress in terms of majority and minority parties, and likely would be aired out for the whole public to see. The tricky thing is this. If this statute reads the way I read it, and I hate to ever say this, but Adam Schiff, I think, is reading it the right way, you have to be an outsider to be appointed special counsel. This is the whole reason why it was Mueller instead of Weissman that was at least the figurehead of that probe. So there's a glaring issue that I think some Democrats are poised to jump on, which is to say John Durham as a DOJ employee cannot be special counsel. And so they might summarily remove him on those grounds. And it may be political and it may be obstructionist, but it actually looks like it could be correct as well under the statute. So that's one thing that I think we've got to keep an eye on. And then the other is, you know, to watch this transition period. Next week is the attorney general's last week. Let's see if anything else happens under his watch. And then we'll have a new acting attorney general in the form of Jeff Rosen, which will be an interesting few weeks as well.
So where do you think Rosen goes on the Hunter Biden investigations, knowing that if there is not a special counsel appointed, that things could just sort of fall off the radar screen come January 20th?
Yeah, that's really a difficult one to predict. And part of that is because Rosen, as popular as he is in a lot of circles and as experienced as he is in federal government in general, he's never been a prosecutor. So the thought that he's going to inherit this thing for the next month is really kind of intriguing. And, of course, Joe Biden can influence this as well. I mean, Biden could announce, it wouldn't shock me if he announced that the Delaware U.S. attorney is going to be kept on. There is precedent for that, where even though it's a different party, because of a sensitive investigation, the incoming president keeps that person in place. If they like where it's going with the Delaware U.S. attorney's office, you might hear something come out from Biden about that. And that would really put the pressure on this administration to leave it be and not appoint special counsel, but just let the Delaware U.S. attorney ride it out. Now, conflicting with that real quick is the fact that Biden just the other day remarked that he thought there was some foul play going on with the investigation, which is, again, pretty astounding moment from what I've seen so far for him to even suggest that. But it does at least mark a departure from the I love my son defense that he had been using. So maybe they're not thrilled with what's going on with DOJ. And, of course, Hunter Biden's lawyers, I guarantee it, have been talking to the U.S. Attorney's Office or Maine Justice or both for some time. So big few weeks coming up here to watch this case.
Well, we'll be watching it with you, Jim. Jim Trusty at IFRA Law here in Washington. And you can follow his analysis as the weeks progress on Twitter, at Trusty Lawyer. Jim, thank you very much. Have a very nice holiday.
Thank you. You too.
We're at 6:56 now on the Saturday morning update. We've got the 7 o'clock news on the way. We're back with John Gizzi. We'll get a look at what's going on Capitol Hill. Also, some of the latest on the Biden cabinet. KT McFarland coming up, Cheryl Atkinson, and Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. Stay with us on the Saturday morning update.
When life has you spending more time in your kitchen, you end up wanting more from your kitchen. So Bray & Scarf is giving you more ways to shop for appliances. Go to BrayandScarf.com and make a one-on-one appointment with a factory-trained appliance expert. It could be the best hour you've ever spent appliance shopping. Or schedule a live video shopping session from the comfort of your home. Bray & Scarf is the area's number one local and independent appliance retailer with the answers you need and the attention you deserve. So shop safely and shop local. Start online at BrayandScarf.com, where it doesn't cost more to get more.
However you shop Bray & Scarf, discover year-end appliance savings now. All GE Profile appliances are on sale, including a special bonus package rebate you won't want to miss. Plus, get free basic installation and delivery on select Monogram appliances. Get the expert advice you need, shop safely, and shop local at the year-end savings event now at Bray & Scarf. Start shopping and start saving at BrayandScarf.com.
Hi, it's Jonathan Cotton, and people sometimes ask me, what is the Good Feet store? A shoe store? I respond, we're an art support store. Most people don't realize that we have four arches in each foot. Not only that, but there are 26 bones, 33 joints, and over 100 tendons and ligaments in each foot. There is no way that a mass-produced shoe is going to meet the specific needs of your feet. That's where we come in. When you come into the Good Feet store, our staff is going to welcome you and listen to your needs. We want to learn about you, your lifestyle, your work, and the types of shoes you enjoy wearing. Then after measuring your feet, we're going to fit you from a selection of over 300 styles and sizes of arch supports. We want to find the right system for you. Haven't you spent enough time trying different shoes and all the disposable products that are supposed to make your feet feel better? Come into the Good Feet store for a free personalized fitting and test walk with our life-changing arch supports. The Good Feet store is located in Fairfax, Leesburg, and Rockville, or visit us at goodfeet.com.
Quarterback Patrick Mahomes for Helzberg Diamonds.
Okay, the clock's ticking and you still need a gift, but you're not sure where to start. Believe me, I've been there. So here's the game plan. Get to Helzberg Diamonds, where they have stunning jewelry at great prices and all the no-pressure advice you need to bring home a W. You've got this. Now get out there and win the holidays.
Right now, get a free Microsoft Surface Go 2 when you spend $1,499 or more. Limited time offer while supplies last. See online or in store for details.
Turn your used car into a life-changing opportunity for a person of differing abilities or injured veteran. Your donation helps provide job training and career placement for adults, inclusive summer camp experiences for children, and specialized healing retreats for injured veterans.
Melwood will pick up your car, your donation is tax deductible, and you get to help build a better future for people in our community. You don't even have to be there for the pickup. Grab your title and call 1-877-MELWOOD or go to melwood.org, M-E-L-W-O-O-D.org.
WMAL-FM Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station.